Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And that is on page 1220 if you have a pew Bible. Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. As was mentioned earlier, I like what one of the senators said about President Trump, that he was a consequential president. I was deeply hurt that he lost the election. I confess that I voted for him. I didn't necessarily vote for the man, but I voted for his policies, for his promises, for what he represented in those promises. But I have to confess that I was very disappointed about last Wednesday and what took place in Washington, D.C. Was it mob violence? Was it insurrection? Was it desecration of property, intimidation, bullying, attempt to disrupt constitutional procedure? Yes, but I hope that as Christians we recognize that there was a cult of personality that was really revealed, or at least exposed. What is a cult of personality? It's a cultivation of someone's personality. It's the following of a persona rather than a policy and what it stand, what that administration might stand for. A cult of personality, if you look in the dictionary, is tantamount to the deification of a leader. The cultivation of a larger-than-life public image of a leader. And I believe that, and I think, I hope, I trust you would agree with me that that has been the case in much of what is taking place, or it's revealed at least what took place last Wednesday. Again, President Trump had some great policies and was a great help to the Church of Jesus Christ and the promotion of our freedoms and the protection of infants and the advance of our economic system. But we have to remember that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that we worship and we serve above all. And I was very disappointed at the pressure that he put upon our vice president and other things that took place. But my purpose this morning is not mainly to lament the all too prevalent cult of personality in the political, in the entertainment, the economic, and the sports world, but to remind and assure us that Christianity is not a cult of personality. There are people that accuse us of following Christ as his personality, that we're a cult. We're just magnetized by his personality versus his work, his policy, if you will, his promises, his saving purpose for coming to this world. We understand our Savior has a great personality. But I want at the outset to say, Jesus did not save us by his personality. He saved us by his sacrifice, his propitiatory sacrifice, his substitutionary life and his substitutionary death. Christianity is not a cult of personality, but it's a following of Christ. It's the church of Christians. It's a conversion by the cross. We're converts, not to the personality of Christ, but to the work of Christ. Well, we love his person, but his person and work could never be divorced. Yes, he has a magnetic personality, but he would never be able to save us by merely his personality. But he saved us by his life and death. I want us just to think about the ways in which Christ's following is not a cult of personality, but a conversion to his person and his work. Jesus, first of all, was chosen by God alone, not by the people. Jesus did not rise by popular vote or by an electoral college. He's called mine elect by the Father. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Jesus did not come by popular vote, neither by a dynasty, though he is a dynasty. He has no replacement, nor by an insurrection, nor by sheer brute force that we saw in Washington on Wednesday. We don't take the world by brute force. Not by fraud, which no doubt was involved in the election. But fraud is involved on both sides in all elections. God is on the throne. But Jesus arose by divine desire and decree. And interestingly, he tells us in verse 3 that nothing should be done through strife or vainglory. The word strife means party spirit. Isn't that interesting? Nothing is to be done by party spirit, by hostility. And there's a great divide in America, the two main parties. I trust that we're not on the bandwagon of a party, but that we seek the President of the United States should be someone that fears God and that promotes policies that are true, that are biblical, that are right. We did not follow Donald Trump. We followed the one who God... We followed the Lord who ordained that Donald Trump be President of the United States. There was only one choice for Savior, Lord of the nations. He's the Son of God. He's the one who became incarnate. Adam was presented and he failed. Others have been promoted and have passed by the wayside. Many have usurped that authority. But we read together earlier in Acts, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the Son in heaven that had to become man under the heaven to save us from hell. He's the one that has been given to us by God. Remember Isaiah 9, unto us a son is given. And so let's remember, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen by God alone and not by the people, that is a factor in that we're not a cult of personality, but we're a church, called out people unto Christ, who by His person and by His work saved us from our sin. Secondly, Jesus, though chosen by God and the only one capable of saving sinners, yet made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself, the Bible says. Ponder this. He's the only one that could save us. And you'd think that He would have come on His high horse, and that He would have come and was self-promotion, as it were. And yet the Bible says He didn't crush a bruised reed or quench a smoking flask. You didn't hear Him crying in the streets, as it were. He kept saying, shh, don't promote me. He had to go to the cross. So Jesus made Himself of no reputation versus pride. And we have to agree, our president was arrogant with a capital A. I believe, it's humanly speaking, if He was not so obnoxious and unpresidential and rude in that first debate, He probably would have won the election, humanly speaking. That cost Him dearly. Why would you have to interrupt and act that way when you're introducing policies? Why didn't He just say, I'm here for the protection of the innocent. I'm here to promote religious freedom. I am here to promote the economy. And yet, this is what we saw. Jesus had no ounce of arrogance. There's no lack of pride in the Oval Office or 10 Downing Street or in Ottawa. But the Lord Jesus had no self-interest in mind. It cost Him. He's always been the Son of God and divine. He became man. And He didn't shed His humanity. Think about it. He's divine. He's the Son of God. He took His humanity, not temporarily, as some think. He didn't take on a temporary persona of being the Messiah. It's a permanent incarnation. He has a body forever now. He didn't have a body before He was born. He's always been the Son of God. No self-interest, but humiliation, persecution, ignominy, shame, torture, crucifixion, a borrowed grave. No cult of personality, friend. Don't accuse us of following merely the personality of the Lord Jesus. Though His personality is magnetic, none like the Lord. And we are to emulate His personality. But He didn't save us by His personality. He saved us by His work. It's the cultivation of humility. It's conformity to humility. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Leaders should serve the people. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. To serve the people. And to give His life a ransom for many. There was no self-promotion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ponder this. He washed feet. You ever seen a president wash somebody's feet? He fed the multitudes. He healed the hurting. He comforted the sorrowing. He saved sinners. He's our Savior by His person and work. Thirdly, Jesus draws people by His work of atonement, not by His personality. Oh, a great personality. He was loving and generous and humble and meek, and yet they still crucified Him. But He did a great work. It's not His personality that saved us. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. He's not saying if I, as a person, if I, in my personality, am lifted up and I'm given all the limelight and the spotlight. No, He was illustrating the cross. If I be lifted up, they're lifted up when they're crucified. And they're lifted up naked and exposed and having been tortured. What a sight! Wasn't recognizable as a human being. They so pummeled Him that evening and morning. Spittle all over Him, dried, gross, stinking spittle. And the fists of all of those soldiers in that gauntlet. What did He look like? Have you ever seen a prize fighter or a victim, one who loses, and look at his face? Split open, and Jesus, it says, had His beard plucked from His face. Had to pull your hair from your head or your hair from your beard. Pull it out. This was constant for Jesus. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory save in the personality of Jesus Christ, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. Oh, Christ was meek and gentle and loving and merciful. Without a doubt, He had to live perfectly. He had to be perfect to earn a perfect righteousness. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. To give His life a ransom for many. Jesus will save His people from their sins. He draws not by His personality, but by His work of atonement. And how glorious that was. For those who got to see it, it was glorious. Ask Joseph of Arimathea. He was there. He let Jesus borrow His tomb. But He was there at the cross, and it was a glorious sight. It was a gory sight. But to you and me, it's glorious. For there's our salvation. It's either Jesus or you or me. Just open one of the portals to hell. And what do you hear? The groans of a lost soul, as it were, that saw Jesus merely as gory and not glory. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Gave what? Gave Him to die. Not to be in the spotlight. God promoted His plan, His policy, His promise to save people by the incarnation of the Son of God. And you and I have to admit, what we saw on Wednesday was not signs saying, protect the babies and protect. It was Trump, Trump, Trump. And I voted for President Trump. But we have to remember, we are Christians first. Before we're Americans. And we must exalt Christ. Not men here in this world. Jesus draws by His loving sacrifice. The cross is our rallying point. We preach Christ crucified. Are you and I dedicated to Christ and His cross? Are we jealous for our Lord Jesus Christ's fame and name? Is His name above every name to us? We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. People look at a cross and they see shame. Just like Simon the Cyrenian at first thinking, this was the worst day of my life to carry the cross of a criminal. And he ended the day perhaps, or certainly soon enough, to say, that was the best day of my life to be associated with the one that I was carrying the cross by which Jesus would be crucified. I was carrying the cross that saved me. That's the best day of my life. But having said this, never divorce his personality from his person and work. But the Lord Jesus Christ draws us by His work of atonement. And that work will last forever. His administration is unique. He will never be replaced. He will never be impeached. He will never be dethroned. He will never, ever abdicate His throne. He is King forever and ever. Fourthly, Jesus' name is highly exalted by God above every name, and His reign is universal and eternal. There was no self-promotion. By divine right, Jesus is pre-existent and preeminent, but by divine accomplishment, He is exalted above all. You see here that the Father exalted Him, not that He exalted Him as the Son of God, but the Father crowned Him and coronated Him and rewarded Him for His work of the cross with the name above every name. God has the name above every name in essence without the plan of salvation. But the Father has a unique place for His Son. The cross, even by the death of the cross, verse 8, you find verse 9, the coronation. Therefore, because the death of the cross, God has Him has exalted, not just exalted, highly exalted, and given Him, not possessed already, but earned this promotion, to Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, not at the name of the Son of God, but at the name of Jesus, Savior, every knee should bow. And you know what's going to be awesome at that last day? It's not that just people bow because He's the Son of God, but people will have to bow and admit He was the only way we could be saved from our sins, and we rejected it. We followed Muhammad. We rejected Him and trusted our good works. They're going to see a Savior with wounds. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Not at the name of the Son of God. It's true that God will be worshipped. All nations shall bow down before Him. But in particular, the judgment day will recognize the saving work of Christ. And you're on one side or the other by whether you are saved or lost. And Jesus is the continental divide. And so many have rejected the cross when one day they'll pay dearly for rejecting the blood of the Son of God. Are you ashamed or are you proud of the cross of Jesus Christ? It's our only way of salvation. His name is highly exalted. There's no one else that has the reputation of Savior. No other accomplishment can save sinners. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus is Lord and Christ. Jesus is Christ and Lord, and you see it in all different ways. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ, who is Lord. God has exalted Christ because of His person and work. We exalt Him as our Lord and our Savior. And finally, Jesus promotes His rule by love, and His followers are nonviolent. Notice that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of and praise of God. So what are believers known for? Violence? Insurrection? Will worship? Personality worship? We're known by our worship of Christ. Every knee should bow. Christians should be known for their reverence and awe of the Savior. And we should be known by our praise. And we confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we should be known by this work. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we should be known by our love. Do all things without murmurings and fightings. Believers are not pugnacious. Believers fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't murmur. We ought not murmur. Complain. We pray. Oh, we were disappointed. But we don't murmur toward God and toward one another. We pray. And we don't fight to get our way. We don't assault. We don't overrun government buildings to get our way. We trust the Lord. It's not by might. It's not by sheer power. Not by might, nor by power. Mob power, weapons. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by My Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by insurrection that we win souls. Or intimidation. But by prayer and preaching and serving. Let us pray for our outgoing president, Donald Trump, that he will not promote the cult of personality, but that he will humble himself to realize that the Lord has removed him providentially. God resists the proud and the self-promoting and the power-grabbing, but that he will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray for our president-elect, that he will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And fear God. Jesus is above all. He was before all. Jesus came humbly to save. Jesus draws not by His personality, but by His cross. Jesus earned the right to save and to bear the reputation as Lord and Savior, universally and eternally. Jesus rules by His love, His grace, His mercy, and His peace. Let us win souls to Christ, person and work, winning souls, not as Spurgeon said, with honey, not with vinegar. With honey and not with vinegar. May the world have to say, oh, how they love one another. May they have to stumble over our bodies to get to hell. Because we care for their souls. Not the cult of personality, but the following of our Lord Jesus Christ. Proud of the cross that saves us from our sins.